This is episode number 44.
Ready, go! Prepare yourself. Okay, let's go.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
That's me, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. I'm Mike Wendland, and whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting out of there in an RV, well, this show's for you. We talk in this podcast about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That is what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and the World Wide Web from Winter Garden, Florida. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, welcome to episode 44, this episode being released July 15th, 2015. And we've got a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of listener questions this week about how to find a travel companion so you don't have to travel alone, how to screen campgrounds and make sure you don't get stuck in one that is, let's say less than desirable. What happens when you get sick on the road? What do you do? And we have RV news this week about a variety of topics. Dangerous weather swept across the Midwest and wreaked havoc on a couple of campgrounds in the Minnesota area. We had some tech tips. We've got a destination of the week that you're going to want to check out and a call for campgrounds. In our main interview section, we've got an RV industry leader calling for campgrounds to set aside specific areas in campgrounds for no campfires. In other words, campfire-free zones. What do you think of that idea? We're going to talk about that coming up. All that, lots more in this episode, but right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my wife, Jennifer.
Mike, Jennifer.
Yes, that's the two of us. Hello, my dear.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Something new, huh?
I don't know. I found that. I thought I'd just... Mike, Jennifer. So, Jennifer, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
We are back by about 24 hours from another trip. We have been pretty much on the road really since May. Actually, before that, I think we were in Florida in March, so March, April. So it's been a lot of miles that we have traveled so far this RV season. Just came back from Maine. Had a wonderful time out there on the East Coast.
It was very nice.
Yep, it was great. And now we're home for a while. Maybe this time I'll be able to wash and wax the RV a little bit before we set off again for parts to the southern states this next trip.
That sounds like a really good idea.
Well, we've got lots of questions that have come in this week, so let's just jump right on and get our listener questions.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. My name is Bobby. Do you know of anyone that is looking for a travel mate? I love RVing. I do not have an RV at this time. I lost my RV travel partner. Anyway, I am a good traveler, quiet, and I would like to connect with people that want to RV. Thank you.
Well, that sounds...
I look forward to hearing back from you. I live in San Luis Obispo, California.
All right. It sounds like somebody who doesn't mind taking a a little bit of a risk and is definitely looking for somebody to travel with. And we've got several places that you can go if you're interested in finding a travel companion. So you can try triptogether.com. And Michael put how to get to that group at roadtrekking.com, number 44. But with Trip Together, you can find people headed to places that you're interested in seeing. You can, I definitely think that would work. Or another place that you can go is a site called Women on the Road. And again, Michael put that in the show notes. But I'm sure you're going to be very wise in selecting travel companions.
You know, you don't know what you're getting into. That's the only thing. It used to be like hitchhiking. You know, it was pretty safe to hitchhike. I did a little research on this question from Bobby, and I came across a number of websites that, you know, they were really like dating sites or hookup sites. You know, somebody, I'm going across the country and I'm looking for an adventurous, uninhibited female companion, or, you know, so you want to be a little careful, I think, when selecting some of those places.
Yeah, and when we were on the road this past year, we ran into Sisters on the Fly.
Oh, good group. Yeah, great group. Yeah.
Mike did an interview with them. That was in episode number 37. So if you go to roadtrekking.com/37. You'll be able to hear that interview. And they sounded like a really fun group. They had some rules, no men, no kids, and no dogs.
They were kind of an outdoor adventure group for solo women who come together and they travel. The group we saw, we were on Route 66 and ran into them, and they were having a ball. A lot of them were in retro trailers that they were towing that they had restored, but some of them had companions with them, and that's a great group that they could look up. Anything else?
What
else?
Yeah, there's another group that's very near and dear to our heart, and that's Road Trucking International chapter of the Family Motor Coach Association.
Oh, yeah. Sherry Targum, the president of RTI, is part of that group, and they've got a solo group, don't they?
They do, and a lot of really nice people there.
Yeah, and the solo group, by the way, is not just for women. It's for men and women. There's a lot of solos, widows, widowers. Some people have spouses, and the spouses don't want to travel with them.
We've run into a lot of that. Their spouses just don't like to travel, and you know, you're looking for a group of people. It's a fun way to do.
All right, so let's see. You gave three sites. I got to make sure I get them all in the notes. Go to roadtrekking.com/44. And I'll put a link up to all of these sites. Trip Together is one that Jennifer said. Women on the Road is another one. We'll have a link to that. We'll also link to Sisters on the Fly. And I'll also put a link on our interview that we had with one of the members of Sisters on the Fly. And then we'll link to the Road Trek International chapter of the Family Motor Coach Association, the solo group. So that's a lot of resources. So, Bobby, you should have no problem finding somebody to travel with, and we hope to run into you out there sometime.
No problem whatsoever finding other people that share the interest and want to go to the same places and see the things that you want to see.
All right, let's take another question.
Hello, Mike. My name is Wilbur Thompson. I'm from Paducah, Kentucky, and my wife and I want to tell you, first of all, how much we enjoy your podcast and your blog. We read and listen to it every week, every day. We check it all out. We're also on the Facebook group. But our question for you and Jennifer is, how do you all find the campsites and the campgrounds that you visit? Seems like the ones we get into aren't nice enough very much. We don't really think a whole lot of them. And we read about other people who find all these great ones. So could you give us some suggestions on finding a good campsite? Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Jennifer.
Well, thank you, Wilbur, for asking. Okay, how do we find places? Well, I've got several apps and websites that I can do, but I think one of the things that is so wonderful now for consumers, and this also applies whether you're looking for a restaurant or a shopping center or whatever it is, are consumer reviews that you can find online, with a caveat, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I've got a couple apps and sites that I can recommend. The one that I use the most is on my smartphone, and it's called AllStays. And I'll put a link on, again, show notes. You'll find that. AllStays, that's probably my favorite. It lists about 29,000 campgrounds all over the country. And these are independent campgrounds, KOA campgrounds, national and state forests, state parks, public lands, Army Corps of Engineers. Do you know they have campgrounds? Well, they do. Really great spots. We can boondock. National park, military, county, city parks, casinos, Walmart. All of these are listed in this Allstays app and on their website. They do charge, I don't remember how much for that app, but it's well worth it. And the website you can get to as well. The app works for Apple and Android devices. So check Allstays. That's probably my favorite. I use that a lot.
And we have different ideas of what we're looking for in a campground.
Yeah.
You know, what I like, somebody else might not like.
That's true. And it helps to look up where you are. And sometimes you don't know, you know, say you're in Alabama and you don't know where to go. So another nice site, besides Allstays, another site that I use sometimes is called RV Park Reviews. And again, I'll put a link under the show notes section of this page. This is a great website. And I like it because it's got a clickable map. You just pick the state you're in, and then you can search for campgrounds in that state. And they list reviews. The people who've stayed there give you reviews, and they tell you what it's like, how well the help is, how clean it is. That's really helpful information. And another site that a lot of RVers don't know that works really well is Yelp, Y-E-L-P. It's kind of a review site for everything. A lot of people have used it. We just came from Maine, for example, and when we were looking for a place to eat dinner, we were traveling with our son and his wife and our new little granddaughter, and we were looking for a place to eat dinner, and Amy would call up Yelp, go to the town, and check the reviews really quick. Well, you can do the same thing on restaurants, and we found great restaurants there. Found a great place for a Philly cheesesteak in Pennsylvania on Saturday night thanks to that Yelp review. But you can also do that for campgrounds. Did you know that? So if you have the Yelp app, Y-E-L-P, or even their website, you can go to that. You just search for campgrounds, and then whatever city that you are going to be at by the time you want to get a spot to stay, and it will bring up a list of campgrounds, and you can then read reviewers. You can read reviews, but you want to take those reviews with a grain of salt.
Well, I was going to say, you can save yourself a lot of grief by using those different apps and finding places rather than going there in person.
Oh my gosh, how many times have we gone to most campgrounds are really run by great people who work really, really hard. But there's a lot of them out there that are just hanging on, and they're not where you'd want to stay. So use those reviews. But I do think you need to take them with a grain of salt, because the problem with peer reviews or reviews by consumers is those who are angry at somebody or a competitor can load it up with reviews that reflect on negative stuff. They can throw a couple of those in. Similarly, if you want to make it look like you're better than you are, you can put fake reviews on. So you got to use your gut instinct in reading the reviews. If they all use the same phrase, for example, that kind of tells you that they're following a script. So don't make a decision based on just one review. So read several of them. But those sites that we gave you that we will link, Allstays, RV Park Reviews, Yelp, those are probably the best. And one other place you can look on our roadtrekking.com blog, because over the last 4 years, as we, you know, there's a new content on that blog every day, and we've got lots of campgrounds, lots of places to stay. So do a search on roadtrekking.com on a state, and it will bring up if we've stayed there, if somebody, one of our riders has stayed there, there may be information you can use there too.
Our first summer that we were traveling in our RV, first experience, it seems like everybody was with us because we have problems and we'd be asking for help or where to stay, and like everybody was guiding us, and it's wonderful.
That was a group called what is it? They're still out there. Cyber Rally, which is part of the Family Motor Coach Association and Road Trek International. It's an email-based system, and I don't know if it's as active as it was three or four years ago, but that really did help out because we didn't know what we were doing. And we would use that a lot. People would say, oh, you do not want to stay here. Or if you're having this problem, it's not a real issue. Just do this and that. So, and we know we didn't tell them about the Facebook group too. Our Facebook group, Road Trekking the Group on Facebook. You can search that and you can put in wherever you are. In fact, I just noticed today there were a whole lot of people who were saying, hey, I'm going to be here or there. Anybody know a good place to stay? And immediately somebody's suggesting places. So there you go. Lots of great spots to stay. And like you said at the very beginning, Jennifer, everybody has a little different notion of what you want. We're moving more and more away towards boondocking.
We are. I like that. I like the peace and quiet.
And having all that extra battery power and the solar power that we have in our newer RV, our CS Adventurous XL from Road Trek. I mean, we have all this power, so we don't even need to plug in. And that makes it so easy to find these awesome spots where there's nobody around. All right. One more question. And this one, Jennifer, I think we're going to throw on your lap because you have some good advice to share. You want to listen to this one? This is from somebody named Jimmy.
Hello, sir. One of my concerns as I travel is my health. My wife and I are getting up there in age, and well, we worry about being far from home and coming down with some health situations that would require medical care. Could you share from your experience and what you've heard from others, what do RVers do when they travel and they don't feel well, they need a doctor, and they're far from home? We appreciate your advice, and we enjoy listening to your podcast. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I guess the first thing we should tell you is don't be upset. Don't worry too much about it. We have had a number of experiences just in our life, and we've certainly heard of others while we've been RVing, where one of us has gotten ill. Most recently, Jennifer, who ended up having to actually be hospitalized while we were on an RV trip. And it was, I mean, being hospitalized is not fun, being sick, but the care was excellent.
It was, and I lucked out where I got sick. There was a small little 10-bed hospital, and it was good health care.
So your advice to Jimmy when he says he's worried about that, what would you share with him as you travel out there and you don't feel well and you're far from home?
There are lots of clinics out there, and I don't know what health problems they have. So I presume they would talk to their doctor about what they should do, or they are aware of situations that they might run into. Taking extra medicine, making sure you have extra meds. I have one pill that I take, and I take two different supplies.
Yep, you have, and you keep it in two different spots.
Two different spots.
Yep, in case you lose one of them. And the other thing is having prescriptions. We found on one of our trips where we actually left before you started carrying two, and you only carried one supply. Mm-hmm. We ran out of that, and we were in, I think we were in Naples, Florida. But our local, we have had ours happen to be filled through our local CVS pharmacy, and we just went to a CVS pharmacy in Florida.
And that worked out well. It depends on what your special health concerns are, but there are places out there. There's those walk-in clinics.
And, you know, you can always do a search in the area of hospitals, medical care, and all that. But the clinic the hospital that Jennifer found, we were in, we were having our road trekking, boondocking photo safari in the Beartooth Mountains back in May, or early June it was. And Jennifer came down with bacterial pneumonia. And it was, she was very sick. But this little hospital turned out in Red Lodge, Montana, was the rural hospital of the year, the top in the country at one point a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Beautiful facility. I mean, we had moose and bear in the backyard and deer and sandhill cranes, and you had a private room.
And what was extra nice is that our dog Ty got to come and visit me.
Yeah, they let the dog in the room, but you know, I can't say that's going to be at every hospital. And the other thing that I would say, Jimmy, too, is if one of you does, you know, worst case, have to go to the hospital, hospitals we have found all over the country are very good about letting you spend the night in the RV. I mean, you can, if you want to stay in the room with somebody, that's great, but the other person can, you can stay right there in their parking lot in the RV. That I've not known of any hospital that prohibits that, and so you've got all the stuff with you right there. And I guess I would just say don't let that be a concern unless you have some really serious health problems and your doctor doesn't want you traveling. But if it's just normal concerns, get out there. Enjoy this country. There's great health care all across the country. So far, that's where we've been blessed.
And you don't want to miss out on the adventure of life by just being overly cautious.
Yep. So many people are like that. And I hope you get out there. So hope that allays some of your concerns, Jimmy. And maybe we'll see you out there on the road ourselves sometime. All right. Those are our questions of the week. We thank you, Jennifer, for joining me on this part of the podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We'll get more questions. If you have a question or comment you'd like to hear from Jennifer or me or both of us answer, we'd like to have you be a part of this podcast.
be part of the podcast, ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of mikesroadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Well, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV only sells small motorhomes, Class B RVs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, has been in the RV business for just about 45 years now and is considered to be the dean of Class B RVs. Nobody knows more about small motorhomes than Ray and his crew. They have new and used Class B motorhomes in stock from the major manufacturers. And when you fly to buy your RV from Van City RV, they'll arrange to have you picked up from the airport and reimburse you $500 towards your airfare. And then they'll take you to Van City. Your RV will be fully prepped for travel, complete with full tanks. They'll give you a thorough orientation, and then you can take off for your adventures. Dan, the van man from Van City RV, has some specials this week he wants you to know about.
Thanks, Mike. Well, our summer specials are still running until the end of July. You can check out some great discounted prices at VanCityRV.com. I also have a great special this month, a 2002 Road Trek 190 Popular on the Chevy chassis with only 32,000 miles. Generator, awning, loaded, twin beds in the rear, ready to go. Somebody looking for a beginner road trek? This is a great one. You can check it out at VanCityRV.com or give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Hey, have you ever seen that show on TV called The Hoarders? That reality TV show called The Hoarders? Well, listen up, because it also applies, I guess, to campers. At least it certainly does in Colorado, where a Telluride resident is suspected of hoarding more than 8,000 pounds of trash at his illegal campsite near the Judd Weeb Trail in one of the national forests there in Colorado, not too far from Telluride. The guy's been charged. He's out on bail right now, and he's got some hearings scheduled for this week in Durango. But according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, this guy was cited for maintaining a campsite in the national forest without authorization. And as they got there, they found it was so littered with trash, 8,000 pounds. This trashed campsite was a mess. Volunteers and government workers eventually came in and they had to bag all this stuff, 8,000 pounds. They had a helicopter, actually had to truck it on out of there, carry it out by air. It was just a mess with this thing. So this guy's in court and he's facing a citation, but you can tell, I mean, a $10,000 unsecured bond, that is a heavy duty bond. So this guy hoarding 8,000 pounds of trash at a campsite in Colorado. That's a story I haven't reported before. Well, over the weekend in Minnesota, a massive storm swept through the heart of Minnesota's lake country, and it really hit hard some of the state's most popular resorts and campgrounds. In fact, a number of them had to shut down because of it. People were evacuated. This is in the middle of the height of the vacation season. Downed trees crashed into cabins. They crushed campers and RVs. They blocked roads, knocked out power lines. No one's seriously injured from the reports that I have seen, but winds hit 70 miles an hour, and they came in Sunday night along a swath that was 8 miles long and about 3 miles wide from Gull Lake to Lake Hubert, and hundreds of campers and resort guests had to evacuate. It was a mess. Power was out of there. One of the campgrounds reported hundreds of trees down, and that was a mess in Minnesota. And all that goes to show is how important it is. We've talked about this before in the podcast, for you to be aware of weather circumstances. Be listening to the weather. Don't, you know, we go camping and we go RVing to get away from it all. But you don't want to get away from the weather. You want to know what the weather is. And most campgrounds also have an evacuation policy in severe weather. You want to know about that. Where do you go if it gets bad? We've gotten caught a couple of times in bad weather at campgrounds. And we've been fortunate that they were great campgrounds. They all had structures that campers were urged to come to in the event of bad weather warnings. And But boy, we've reported several campgrounds that have been really hit hard this year by storms. So take good care of it. And one more story this week from our RV news section. We have been talking a lot about lithium-ion batteries. Of course, the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL that Jennifer and I have has, we're kind of like a proof of concept vehicle for Road Trek. We have a massive supply of lithium-ion batteries as well as a great solar system as well. Our whole roof is solar panels. But we've talked about this before. We've had all this information. We had an interview with Jim Hamill not too long ago on one of the earlier episodes. But officially now, Road Trek Motorhomes has announced the availability of what they call EcoTrek. It's a power module that utilizes lithium-ion battery technology to lift the electrical system limits for Road Trek owners. This new technology is a boondocker's dream if you like to camp off the grid, because it enables you to become completely energy independent, gives you the ability to use 90% of the available power before any voltage loss occurs. The cell protection system is optimized for all weather and electrical situations. The module charges and discharges at very high rates, can be optimized thanks to this proprietary climate system that they've put in. It charges from any available source due to the company's existing E-Trek charge controller, which kind of harmonizes the vehicle alternator, the Onan engine generator, the Onan outboard generator and the engine generator that Road Trek also has, solar, shore power, all of that stuff works together and is managed. Pretty cool stuff, but lots of advantages to lithium cells, lithium battery cells in this EcoTrek module. It saves weight for one thing. It's faster charging, increases your battery life to 3,000 cycles. It's pretty cool. Lots of safety testing engineering done with all this stuff, and pretty cool R&D team that have been working on this in-house at Road Trek for a long time, and now it's available in 200, 400, 800, and 1600 amp hours. And you can also combine this with their solar systems ranging from 200 to 600 watts depending on the size of the unit. And then they also have this proprietary Volt Trek system that gives you this peace of mind. Automatically starts up your engine generator if everything gets down low. Check it all out. You can go to sale. You can send an email if you want to sales@roadtrek.com or talk with a dealer. But that now is officially available. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System brings many features and benefits that are not found with any other product. For example, the Aldi heat system is a silent radiant heat, provides a warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets and humans, of course. Increased interior space because you've combined really two systems, your hot water heater and your internal heat system in one. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will extend the life of your propane about 40% over a forced air system. You can also have electric heating in there as well as propane gas. Multiple options and amenities. You can upgrade this thing to have towel warmers, floor heat. That's what we have in our Road Trek Adventure CSXL. Love that floor heat. Tank heating is available. You can get four-season camping with this stuff. Programmable color touchscreen thermostat, very easy to operate. Check it out at your RV dealer. Ask for Aldi. You want to have an Aldi heating system, A-L-D-E, Aldi. It's the only name that you need to know when it comes to a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Well, whether you are maybe too busy to pay close attention, somebody's given you a phone number or an address that you don't have time to write on, or you're driving and you're just getting it over the phone, or you might have other reasons and want to record and save an important phone call for future reference, well, there are some great apps that we have found that will do this for you. Now, I want to caution you because there's some variation in state law. Most states will allow you to record telephone calls. A couple of them, though, are a little tricky. And so you need to know your state law. Most of them allow what they call one-party consent, which means if one person in the conversation says it's okay, and since that's you recording, it's okay. But not all states. There's a couple of them that have more restrictive policies than that. So you need to know that yourself. But most of them allow it. And we have three recording apps I want to recommend. The first is called Automatic Call Recorder. And by the way, you don't have to write all this stuff down. You can just go to the show notes at roadtrekking.com/44 and scroll down to the traveling tech tip section, and I'll have links to each of these apps. But Automatic Call Recorder is one of them. Allows you to record any or all calls that you make on your cell phone. You can choose to save or delete the calls. There's a little inbox that comes in. You can even add notes to calls. And integration, it all integrates with Google Drive or Dropbox. This is for Android devices. This is Automatic Call Recorder. It only works with Android devices. But it's pretty cool. It's free for the basic one. And there's a pro version for, I think, $7 that gives you lots of additional features. Another one for you Android users that's pretty cool. It's from a company called Clever Mobile, and their Call Recorder app allows users to record, play, delete recorded phone calls, and you can set up where the recordings are stored, and then you can protect them with a password if you want. The app is free for Android. There's a $5.99 Pro version available. And I'm not going to leave you iPhone, iOS users out in the dark here. I've got a great one for you, too. Theirs is called Tape a Call Pro. iPhone users, Tape a Call Pro. This is an app that allows you to record calls. You can do this even while you're right in progress. So you say you're talking to somebody and they say, okay, so take down this address, and you're driving. And you don't have a pencil or paper, just hit this little button on this Tape a Call Pro and it will record it right in progress for you. And then you can go back and listen to it. You can record the whole call or just part of it. Once it's completed, the recordings are instantly available. You can share them, you can save them. You want to get the pro version of Tape a Call. It's expensive. It's $9.99, but it's and that's for a year, but it's a pretty cool program. If that's something that you're going to use a lot, check it out. Again, links on the show notes page at roadtrekking.com/44. You can find all these, click them on, and check them out yourself. This part of the podcast brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And I have some news I want to share this week with you. I'm teaming up with Verizon for, we're going to try this out. This is really going to be fun, for an upcoming Pound VZ Hangout. You need that slash tag. Pound VZ Hangout. We'll also link it on the show notes page here. But remember that, Pound VZ Hangout. You know what a hangout is? It's going to be kind of like a live video feed, and I'm going to be talking all things traveling with tech with a group of a lot of other people, including Paul Ulrich, who's the Uber user. We've had Paul on here in the program many times. But we're going to do this live hangout. It's going to be kind of fun. And during the hangout, I'm going to share the devices that I rely on to stay connected while I'm out on the road. Verizon Uber user Paul Ulrich is going to host this little hangout, and he's got some top tech picks that he's going to offer up as well. And there'll be a couple of other people on there as well that you want to hear about. So trust me, you will not want to miss it. It's going to be on Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, 8 p.m. EST, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So adjust your clocks. And if you don't have Google Hangouts, it's really simple. If you want to join this conversation or follow it, just remember #VZHangout. That's the hashtag on Twitter. Or go over to the Verizon Midwest Area blog, and you can watch this live on Tuesday, July 21st. You can even submit your questions that you want us to answer. This is all live. It's a pretty cool thing. I want to see how this works. I'll be doing lots more hangouts if this is as fun as I think it will be. So July 21st, 8 o'clock, and go to the Verizon Midwest blog. You can get to it by going to roadtrekking.com/VZW. roadtrekking.com/VZW to get their blog. And you can also learn how to connect to the live stream there, as well as find lots of tech tips about using technology as you're on the road. So Verizon's Midwest blog is accessible through roadtrekking.com/VZW. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking for that. Again, July 21st, 8 o'clock, we'll talk tech and for the live video audience. And we would really like to have you be a part of it. So So come and do that. Okay. All right. This is the 15th of July, 2015. The RV travel season is still highly underway, and we are pretty excited about that, which in this part of the program is when we give an idea to let you know where you may want to check out. A bucket list destination of the week.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, I'm going to put links up to a story I did on the blog about it so you can see the pictures. But this place is called the Coral Pink Sand Dunes. It's a state park in Utah. And it doesn't get a lot of attention. And it should, because it's a really awesome place. Now, you may never have visited the area. And this is a place of shifting seas of red sand dunes and red rock canyons in southwestern Utah. But I know you have seen it. Yes, you have seen it. You might have thought it was Egypt. Or if you watched old-time TV, you might have thought it was Matt Dillon's home in the old TV series Gunsmoke. Or the Planet of the Apes, the old movie. And even the new movie, I think, was shot partially there. All sorts of other places, thanks to 300 Hollywood movies that used the backdrop of this amazing area of pink, vermilion, tan, red sand dunes that lie beneath some pretty spectacular red sandstone cliffs in Utah. We spent a couple of days in and around the Coral Pink Sand Dune State Park and in the nearby town of Kanab, which is 20 miles south of the park. It's a pretty cool park. These dunes are estimated to be between 10 and 15,000 years old. They were formed from the erosion of the pink-colored Navajo sandstone that surrounds the park. And then the high winds would sweep down this little canyon notch between a couple of mountains, and it would pick up loose sand particles and then drop them into the dunes, and they're constantly shifting, and they're really big. I mean, a couple hundred feet high. There's a great campground at that state park, although we opted to stay in an RV park in Kanab, where there's a fascinating museum that documents an area so popular with filmmakers from the 1920s through today that they call the area Little Hollywood. They shot so many westerns using those sand dunes and those red rock canyons as a backdrop. Clint Eastwood, James Garner, Dennis Weaver, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Dale Robertson, Ronald Reagan, all the stars that have been on location in the Kanab area there near those sand dunes. But these sand dunes, that was the backdrop that they used. The greatest story ever told. Did you see that one? That's where they used the dunes as Egypt for the scenes from Exodus. Very accessible dunes. You can walk them. You can climb all over them. There's a picnic area. There's an overlook. The one caution I would give you is beware of ATVs and dune buggies, because they are also allowed to run through the dunes, and they do. If you go out there, make sure you have a hat, take plenty of water, because the sand can get very warm. And if you're thinking of a visit, let me give you an idea to target Kanab, that nearby town. They have every August, and it's coming up August 27th through the 29th of 2015, but every August they have their Western Legends Roundup, and this pays tribute to all the films that were shot in the area, and many of those people who worked on the movies and the TV series come back to town. They talk about it. It's a lot of fun. And if you can't get there for that, just make sure that you're there on a Monday night, because on Monday nights, the local theater shows Westerns. I'm sorry, Saturday nights. Every Saturday night, the local theater in Kanab sells Westerns that were shot there and cost us like $2 a ticket. So our destination of the week, the Coral Pink Sand Dunes of southwestern Utah and the Coral Pink Sand Dunes State Park specifically, not too far from the town of Kanab, Utah. This part of the podcast brought to you by Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and the internet from Winter Garden, Florida. We love these guys at Leisure Time RV. Been down there. Jennifer and I got a chance to hang out for most of a day there just a couple months ago. They're one of the oldest road trek dealers in the U.S. Family owned for 45 years they've been in business and selling road treks almost since road treks were in business. They've been selling road treks over 25 years. Consistently, Leisure Time RV is among the top 10 road trek dealers in the country. They have a fully stocked parts store that is a true resource for anybody who has a road trek. They get this factory preferred parts from Road Trek, and if you are in need of parts, just call them and you talk to Maureen. She is the parts guru out there. They want me to tell you that they've got the new Road Trek Zion in stock at Leisure Time RV. You know, the Zion's new front wheel drive, fuel efficient gas engine, stability program, 5 passenger seating, open center aisle. You can store everything from kayaks to bicycles, sleek exterior, drives like a car, power steps. Awesome. You want to see it. They have a white and a platinum silver Zion in stock now, as well as all the rest of the Road Treks you can check. Leisure Time RV, our friends in Winter Garden, Florida. When you get down there, tell them that you heard them on the podcast. And we would love you to let them know that you are a regular listener of the podcast.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Well, we've got a great interview coming up now with a friend of mine named Chuck Woodbury. Chuck, if you don't know Chuck, he is the founder and the publisher of RV Travel, which is a weekly newsletter that serves people who enjoy traveling in their recreation vehicles. Chuck has been reporting on the RV as a consumer for many, many years. He's just a terrific guy. And he wrote an opinion piece for his newsletter this week, that is getting a lot of buzz, and not all of it is favorable. Although with consumers, it's surprisingly favorable, because what Chuck is calling for is campfire-free areas in campgrounds. He says that the problem has gotten so bad because of a number of factors, which we'll talk about in the interview, that it's not healthy for you to be exposed to all of these campgrounds in many times. It's a controversial area because everybody loves campfires. I love campfires. I love bonfires. But when you're in an RV park and you are literally, you know, a few feet away from your neighbors, and they're a few feet away from their neighbors, and all those campfires get going, oh my goodness, it is a mess. And then there's the junk, the gunk that people burn in those campfires, besides wood. Wood smoke is bad enough, but when they start burning garbage and the stuff that, you know, their paper plates and cups, you wouldn't believe the stuff. Just talk to anybody who works in a campsite about what they find in those campfire rings. Well, Chuck's idea is maybe it's time that some parks just put a stop to campfires, at least in some areas of the RV park. So let's bring him on the program right now. Here's Chuck Woodbury. Well, the man behind this very interesting idea is joining us right now on the podcast, Chuck Woodbury. Chuck is a longtime friend, and he's probably the dean next to Greg Gerber from RV Daily News. He's probably the dean of RV writers. Chuck, you've been doing RV reporting since what? 2001 since for your newsletter, right?
No, I got my first motorhome when I was in the late 80s, and I started when I was in my early 30s, tells you how old I am. And but back then I was traveling in the RV, you know, half the year writing for magazines and I was blogging, but instead of blogging as we do now, I was keeping a journal and publishing it into a newspaper that I called Out West that I did for 10 years.
It is. Everything has certainly changed with the world of digital media, and you've been a pioneer in it. I know you have a gazillion YouTube videos, and we'll put links up to your newsletter, which goes out every Saturday, and then you have lots of daily stuff that you put out, and we'll put links to the entire Woodbury empire out there as we go.
Yeah, I appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and Chuck, I would just as soon say this publicly too, because I think you were the first RV writer that I met when we started 4.5 years ago now, and we happened to be right next to each other at one of the big FMCA gatherings in, I think it was Indianapolis. And
yeah, it was in Indianapolis. That was fun. That was a good time. I knew about you, and I remember when they said where I was going to be, and oh, you'd be next to Mike Wendland, and I thought, oh, that's great, you know, somebody to talk shop with. And no, that was a good time.
That was a great time, and you made me feel very welcome. And ever since then, I've been a big fan. And it's a small world out there of people who do what Chuck does for a living, and we all got to stick together. But this idea that you came up with, and really it was an opinion piece in your newsletter, and I know Greg Gerber's RV Daily News picked it up, and now we're picking it up, and I think it's going to have some traction. Smoke-free areas in campgrounds. What prompted all of this? And I wonder how this is going to fly with a lot of people who insist on having a fire as soon as they arrive at a campsite.
Well, you know, we all love a campfire. It's always been a part of camping. It's one of the things when we think about camping, we think about going out and sitting under the stars and having a campfire and doing our s'mores or roasting marshmallows, whatever. And I like it as much as anybody else. And I happen to be sitting in a national park right now, in Glacier National Park, and my campfire ring is probably 30 yards away from anybody else's. But I was in I've been in some private campgrounds in the last couple weeks. And the last one, the campfire ring was literally 8 feet from my window in my motorhome. And in the campground, there were so many of them. And I was in Missoula, Montana. And it was hot. It was this hot spell. And it was the evening, it was still in the mid 70s and people were lighting up their campfires. And, you know, my eyes were stinging for 3 nights. I went to bed with stinging eyes. And I'm so thankful that the person next to me, 8 feet away, didn't light up the campfire. But I have had that happen. And, you know, and as I did a little research on it, and in the newsletter this weekend when I wrote about it, I must have had 40, 50 letters already from people who have allergies, who are seriously affected by smoke. And some of them said they just can't go camping anymore.
We're at that point, almost at that point ourselves. My wife, Jennifer, ended up spending 3 nights in a hospital up in Montana. And we had been on the road at that point maybe 6 weeks or so. But so many of those campgrounds. I mean, it was, and if it was warm at night, like you say, you've got a fan on, or in our case, we've got a fantastic fan running in the top. It just sucks that stuff in.
Right.
And I know that her pneumonia was extremely aggravated by it. And that's one of the reasons we have started to stay away from campgrounds and just do more boondocking, because they're so bad. And people burn not just wood, but they burn the paper plates, the plastic paper plates that they ate off of, and anything else they can find. They use lighter fluid. So your idea is to create a campfire, no campfire zone. How would that play out? Kind of like no generator zone?
Well, no, there's in the old days before they banned smoking in restaurants, there was always a no smoking section. Airplanes started off with no smoking sections. And you know, even in a campground, you know, it's going to drift around. And if you got enough people having a campfire, it doesn't matter if it's a ways away. Even in something like Glacier National Park, if everybody's going to campfire, you're going to suffer from it. But I think what's happening is campgrounds are trying to replicate, RV parks rather, are trying to replicate the camping experience. You know, go out and have an experience with nature. Well, when you've got an RV that's parked 12 feet away from you and your slide outs are 18 inches apart from each other, I'm sorry, but that is not a meaningful experience with nature. And when you want to put a campfire in between, you know, sure, that's wonderful. And that you're going to have a campfire, but you know, your neighbors may not appreciate it. And I just don't think it's right. And I think RV parks should offer, if people say, I don't want to be near a fire pit, that they should have that option. And of course, I would love to see some of these parks just do away with it. I mean, I've been in, I think several of the parks I've been in just recently did not have campfire pits. And the park I was in last night here up near Whitefish, I talked to her about it, the owner of the campground, and she said, you know, she just decided not to do it. And she mentioned the, you know, what you talked about, the burning of the paper plates and the chemicals, and people leave, you know, of course, leave their campfires going. They go to bed and, you know, you're next door and their fire's smoldering for the next 4 hours. So I just think a first step would be to have an area in a campground where people could request, please, I don't want to be next to a campfire pit.
Well, you know well in your newsletter that the smell of wood smoke and breathing it can cause, and I'm quoting from what you wrote, can cause coughing, scratchy throat, irritated sinuses, shortness of breath, chest pain, headaches, stinging eyes, runny nose. It can worsen asthma, COPD, emphysema, pneumonia, and bronchitis, and particularly harmful to little kids if it's that congested. It sounds, though, that what we're really talking about are probably RV parks that are trying to maximize every single inch of space. And put us all, you know, in almost like surrounded by skyscrapers, with if you had a smaller motorhome like us in those Class A's. And then they put a fire ring between them all and say, oh, well, you know, come out and camp. I think you really nailed that on the head about some of these RV camps. And how do we handle this? Oh, well, let's go. First of all, you mentioned your reaction. And one of the things I thought was really interesting you did is you set up a very quick, and we'll put a link to that, a 15-second survey that people can take, share the results of that. And what is this survey? What's this survey shown so far?
Well, I think about 800 people have responded, and usually when we get 100 people respond, and our surveys we do every week usually have about 1,500 people respond. But when it gets to 100, you generally have the statistics are not going to change much. Well, at 800 people so far, 81% agree with me that they really believe that campfire-free zones would be a good idea. And the comments, they're leaving more comments than normal on our surveys. And we've been doing surveys for 12 years or 13 years, I don't know. I really hit a hot button that a lot of people are bothered by it. And this trip that I'm on now, I was just reminded of it. This isn't the first time it's happened to me. I literally have had people right outside my window light up a fire and have the wind blowing it right inside. And, you know, and that's just, it's just not right. It's not fair. It's not neighborly. But people want to have their campfires, and they paid to go to that RV park and have that camping experience.
You mentioned that it's the same thing as somebody, in effect, blowing cigarette smoke into your face. I mean, that really is what it's like when it's that close to your unit.
Yeah, and you know, and it's true. And then somebody pointed something out to me today, and I don't know if this is true or not. I tried to do a little research, and I couldn't find out. But it said the campfires do a pretty good business of selling wood.
Yeah.
So you wonder why, and you know, Mike, that what's happened recently with all these insects that have been invading very forests and spreading the pine beetles and others, that you can't bring your own wood anymore. You have to burn local wood, which means you have to buy wood. So how much money are these campgrounds making, these RV parks, on selling wood? And some people said that wood isn't necessarily the best wood. It's kind of green, which smokes a lot. Now, I don't know if that's true. I suppose in some parks they do sell quite a business on wood. So there is that profit motive going on in the campgrounds. And, you know, I mean, I appreciate RV parks and how hard these people work and how tough it is to make a buck and all that stuff. So that's why I'd love to see RV parks, you know, just leave the campfires to the national forests, the national parks and state parks and so forth, where there's room. So I think really the best that could happen here would be if they would set aside a zone and at least minimize the smoke for people that are affected by it.
I think you're on a really great topic there. We have pretty much given up trying to stay in any kind of organized campground on weekends, particularly when they're all filled, and staying away from boondocking. So, what can people do, Chuck, besides sign a survey? I mean, how can if people feel 81% or whatever it is that seem to be agreeing with you on this proposal, what's your advice? What's your advice to RVers out there?
I would say anybody who's really, you know, doesn't like to have stinging eyes and doesn't like to have the smoke, they call the campground and ask them if they have campfire pits. And if they do, then say there's an area of the park where there are no pits and or fire rings, whatever you call them. And stay in those places and let the owners know that they're concerned about it. When they check into a campground, ask to be put in a place where there's no campfire rings. Or I was looking for a site a couple nights ago, and I noticed the RV park was actually right on its opening page, its website, was saying, we do not have campfire rings, so you will not be bothered by the smoke. I saw one about a week and a half ago, same thing. We're a smoke-free campground. So obviously, people are talking about it. But I think people call up when you make the reservation, just ask to be put in an area where there's no campfire rings, or select campgrounds and tell the owners you're staying there because they don't have campfire rings. And again, I don't want to come off as some kind of a guy who hates campfires or hates the camping experience. It couldn't be further from the truth. I love a campfire. I love camping. I love some RV parks are wonderful. And of course, here I am in a national park today, which is beautiful. And that's, of course, my favorite place to camp. But RV parks, I just think in fairness to all those people who are affected by smoke, they really should consider taking the campfire rings out of a few rows of their park, whatever, and try to keep it the smoke out as best they can.
Well, it's a great proposal, and you got our support, and we'll put links to this survey and to your original opinion piece on it, and we'll be interested to follow this. Chuck, before I let you go, you're in the middle of a five-month trip. You're out in Glacier now. Where's next for Chuck Woodbury?
You know, Mike, I've been a writer my whole life, and so sometimes I think about slowing down and not writing as much, but I just can't help it. I write about whatever I find along the way, and I don't really care where I go or what road I take. I just kind of nose around for interesting stories, and write to my audience. We have about 60,000 readers every week of RVTravel.com, the newsletter, which I think we're in our 14th year now. So I'll write about once in a while. I'll write about places, but I'll write about just like the campfire thing this week, you know, hit me. And so where I go, I don't care, but I do want to go to Nova Scotia. I have never been there. And so kind of following Route 2, US 2, across the top of the country. Might even be up in your neck of the woods up in Michigan there before long. If I do in your home, I'll give you a call.
We'll be there. We just came across US 2 from the very area. Actually, I'm back in Michigan right now for about 3 days, and we're off to Memphis, but we just came from Maine. So you and I are kind of like crisscrossing the country together. And Greg Gerber is out there somewhere among us. It'd be kind of fun, the three of us. I guess maybe we'll hook up at one of the big shows at Louisville or Hershey or someplace. But
yeah, well, I plan to be in Hershey, and Greg Gerber was in Helena, Montana a couple nights ago, and I was in Missoula. So I called him, and we ended up having a Mexican dinner in Missoula. So good to catch. That was kind of lucky to catch up with him.
Get that smoke out of your system, and yeah. We'll clear it up. Chuck, always a pleasure, and I think you've got a very interesting proposal. We're going to see what people think. No campfire zones in RV parks. We'll see what our folks think.
Mike, I got to say, I love what you're doing, and I read your newsletter every week, and you put me to shame in terms of the miles you put on. So I'm glad you're doing well, and I hope we can catch up and get together soon.
I think you promised me a chocolate beer in Hershey, Pennsylvania, so I'm holding you to it this year.
We'll do it.
All right. Chuck Woodbury from RV Travel, and we'll put links up. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Indeed. Every Wednesday, a new issue. A new episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is released. I hope you've subscribed to us. Have you done that yet? please follow the instructions on the show notes page for this episode, roadtrekking.com/44, and you'll see a way how you can subscribe. And that means if you're on Stitcher for you Android users, or if you're on iTunes for you iOS users, every time there's a new episode, it'll automatically be lined up and ready for you as soon as it's released. Also, I would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a review. Those 5-star reviews that you leave help us get noticed out there in the increasingly competitive world of podcasts. I want to thank, Lightkeep from a review this week. He says, great podcast, getting a new Class B next week. You're helping me prepare to hit the road. Thank you. Also, Brian says, you'll learn a lot and laugh. Mike Wendland has taught me about the water, electric, sewer, heating, and cooling, engine, motor, chassis, and body frame of my RV. He's taught me when and where to go, how to go, and I look forward to every show each week. So thank you, Brian, for that review. I read every one of them. I appreciate it if you would leave us those reviews. Those really do help. Also, make sure you're part of our Facebook group. We have this conversation ongoing all day long, 24/7, 752. Go to facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And if you're not a member of that group, click the join button and become a part of our conversation that we use on the Road Trekking Facebook group all the time. If you're on Twitter, follow me at Road Trekking. I want to thank you again for being a part of the podcast. It is so exciting to hear your calls and to get your email, and especially when we're out there on the road to meet you guys. You can find out where we are by clicking on the roadtrekking.com blog, the Our Whereabouts link right up at the top right-hand side. It'll show you the latest waypoint that we've registered, and you'll get an idea where in the country we happen to be. Till next week, I'm Mike Wendland. Thanks for putting me in your ear. Bye-bye, everybody.